Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'd like to say the logos here, but I have wise conversations, and I've got koozies, and we've got everything here but water. We are on Radio Row. It is Super Bowl 56 coverage all behind me. Big Joe Burrow behind me. Big Matthew Stafford behind me. Everything is here, it seems, except Chris Pika and Luke Jones. Luke is back in Pennsylvania. You punted on this, dude. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how much fun you've missed today. Things like finding out that the water here at the convention center is $6.07. fact that Sam Farmer stopped by, Albert Breer. I got to visit with my dear friend Bruce Murray. I am doing play-by-play, by the way, tomorrow at Jackie Robinson Stadium for the Snoop Dogg Wounded Warrior football game, being quarterbacked by Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and Jake Plummer, who's not a Hall of Famer, but a Hall of Fame guy. And Kenny Main is going to be, he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be doing color for the game with me tomorrow. He's apparently participating, but I've already decided that I'm going to make him the whipping boy tomorrow if I have the bullhorn. What do you think of that, Luke?
How'd you get that gig?
I know people. Hey, my people call people out here in L.A. You think I don't know people in L.A., huh? So, yeah.
I didn't know you had an agent in L.A. Wow.
You know what, dude?
I'm impressed.
I'm going to be honest with you. This was once said to me, all right? A couple years ago. Do you remember 4 years ago? It was whenever Kadri Ismail got hurt in that game at halftime. Remember that?
Kadri Ismail
got hurt at a halftime game playing alumni game. Remember, his knee was in a boot. And he was a mess, right? That game, the night before that game, Stoney Case flew in from Texas, from the Odessa, Texas, little town, Friday Night Lights. And Stoney's a buddy, and he's got a probably 12, 13-year-old boy at the time, 4 years ago. And he flies in. He calls me. He says, let's go out. We went over to Amici's, big pasta, meatballs, and all that. And we're sitting there. And he said to me, yeah, I'm quarterbacking in this game tomorrow. He's like, I started to think about how desperate they must have been to call me. That's all I got for you. So Stoney's like, man, all the guys they could have quarterback. And I'm like, Kadri wasn't even a quarterback and they had him quarterback. And we had a lot of quarterbacks we could have called here. But yeah, it's LA. They probably could have had Roger Lodge do it if they wanted to. I mean, I probably could get Roger Lodge. I probably should call Roger Lodge and see if he'll come do it with me. How about that? But Luke, I miss you out here, man. I mean, it's day one. I got my mask on, and I know when you see me and you hear me all muffled through the mask and I'm holding it out so I sound a little bit better, a little bit more normal. I think on the air it sounds like a spit guard. It sounds like it's a little muffled. But it's not as bad as you think. I mean, like if you can see behind me, if you're watching on the web screen, there's two tables, there's more space, there's no water, and there's no people. I mean, L.A. is just sort of deserted, downtown L.A. You're not missing anything on the walk over. Various people talking to themselves and things that you would see in big cities in America at this point. But day one, it's not that bad. That's I'm just going to say that it's not that bad. You should have come. That's what I thought. This morning I thought, you should have come. It would have been fun.
Well, but you did say that your glasses are fogging up. You don't sound like Darth Vader, so that's good. But I have seen your glasses
Luke,
fog up a little bit.
I am your father.
How's that?
So, but I'm glad to hear it's off
Jim
to a good start.
See, I recognize people. See, Wyatt's got the pencil, and he's got a mask on, and he's not wearing any Titan stuff. But I reckon you have to look at people by their gait, by their hair. They recognize people by their hair here. So he's laughing at me.
But your hair is different now.
Nobody, dude, Alex Marvez is walking next to me and I'm walking. And his hair's all cut up now. He doesn't have the rat tail, none of that, right? And I said, hey, what's up, Al? And he looks at me like I was an AEW fan or something like I'm your brother.
Yeah.
And
and
he's like, oh, they recognize you with your hair. And I'm thinking, dude, you had wild hair forever. And the reason I had, I can let mine out, but I just have it back. But it definitely is letting me go under radar here in LA, but not so much under radar that I did not get the peak assignment of doing play-by-play for the Snoop Wounded Warriors game. So apparently Snoop might come. He might.
Hopefully they'll get you some water then at least. I mean, I hope you're at least being paid in bottles of water.
Hold on. Not only am I wearing my Liberty Pure hat, as a plea to Doug Workman and my friends at Liberty Pure, who are great with all of our plumbing and water needs. But I've also brought the Wise Markets Cup. So this is what I'm going to tell you a wise story. You want to, Luke, I'm not your father, but I'll play your big brother right now. So this is Nestor Aparicio of Dundalk, Maryland, coming out here, right? I have cups. So I went up to the front to the commissary, and I picked up the bottle of and I like Aquafina. No, I mean, Pepsi was good to me for a long, long, long time. And there's no water here, and I picked the can up. It's a can of water because it's California, because they don't do plastic here, right? Because they're smart. So kid says to me, I just want to let you know that's $6.57. And I handed it back to him, and I got a mask on, so I think maybe they thought I was being a little nasty. I'm like, no, I'm not upset. I'm just like, I'm not spending $6.57 on water. So I came in and I had to pee, and I went to the bathroom, and right as you pass the bathroom, there is the big thing that says stick your bottle of water under the little blue light and you get free water. So my wise decision today was to go over to the free water station and use my wise cup to do that. So there, and I'm going to put my mask down because it's legal to do that if you're drinking. So there, how about that? Do I sound better now?
Yeah, you sound much clearer now.
By the way, Dick Cass is still leaving the Ravens, and Eric DaCosta still gave a press conference, and we still have a new defensive coordinator, and we have a new team president, and the owner issued a press release about 8:35 a.m. On Monday morning. So, Luke, I'll let you do what you do now that you would be doing here, drinking free water if you were here, not $6.57 water. And you would have had some delicious Korean shave ice last night at Oka Bing. But instead, you're laboring because the Ravens are keeping you busy.
Yeah. And through all of our conversations, when you first got to Radio Row and you and I and Chris Pika talked about everything going on with Dick Cass's retirement, Sashi Brown's hiring, we talked so much about Brian Flores and his suit and what that means for the league. But we didn't really jump too much into what Eric DaCosta had to say. I think, you know, John Harbaugh earlier in the week, last week, talked, you know, football. And I don't think there were that many big takeaways from John, you know, a couple here and there. But I think there was, you know, a lot of it was left for the Wednesday press conference with Mike McDonald. But you know, with Eric DaCosta, while I wouldn't say that there were these earth-shattering headlines, I think there certainly were some interesting some interesting notes that came from that press conference. I think, you know, I think you'd be remiss without mentioning to me what was kind of the takeaway quote, which was, you know, being asked about Lamar Jackson's contract. Eric said they were, quote, working at Lamar's pace, which I think can be interpreted in so many different ways, because you're talking about a player who does not have a certified agent representing him. I think there's so much to discuss in terms of value, in terms of length of the contract.
What percentage of players are not represented in the modern era? I remember when Brian Billick had a conversation with me, you know, 15 years ago, the last contract he did, he represented himself because he just thought, like, I can do that and get a lawyer to look it over for $20,000. You know what I mean? Instead of giving an agent $2 million of my 50, or, you know, whatever the number would be, right? So to me, it sounds like a trust issue with Lamar more than an expertise issue. But I want to say 98.9% of players are represented. I mean, it's outrageous. It's not 75%, right? It's like every player has an agent, and probably the further down the line you are, the more you need an agent.
Yeah, and that's where I think this is so interesting. I mean, we've seen some instances that Matt Elam comes to mind as a former first round pick for the Ravens, regardless of how his career turned out. But he was someone who didn't have an agent when he was drafted, and you know, there's been a lot of discussion, and I think there's merit to the idea of not worrying about having an agent when you're talking about your rookie contract, which is slotted. You know, I mean, that's all spelled out, and okay, there's some wiggle room here and there on offset language and, you know, how guarantees are structured and what have you, but it's all very standardized. It's all very slotted and systematic in terms of your rookie contract. But you're right, there aren't many players that have chosen to represent themselves, and I understand the thought behind it. You can save that 3-4%, whatever the percent is for a given agent at his agency or her, but it's really complicated. And as much as I think you can look at it in a vacuum and say, yeah, you can have an attorney, you can have some people advising you, unless it is a certified agent from the Players Association, certified by the Players Association, they cannot engage in direct negotiations. And I think that's where things get complicated, because the Ravens are trying to negotiate a deal that's, they're not thinking about Lamar Jackson being at his peak happiness as their number one priority there. Yes, they certainly would like to work out a deal that Lamar is happy and amenable to and can live with and feel good about. But ultimately, they want to save money if they can. They want to structure it in a way that's going to be team friendly. They want it to be something that gives them the most amount of flexibility on their salary cap that they can find. And when you're talking about needing to engage directly with a player on negotiations, you know, and we talk about this with arbitration in Major League Baseball and that process. But anytime you're talking about a contract negotiation, you are going to present your side of it, so to speak, and present why you don't want to give that player quite as much as that player is asking for. And as much as you hope, and in many, many cases, it can still remain a courteous process, I think there are times where it's complicated. And in the case of Lamar Jackson, you have someone who is very unique in his skill set at the quarterback position. We have talked about that since before Lamar Jackson was even drafted by the Baltimore Ravens 4 years ago. So you have that. You have the structure of it that's complicated, just in the sense of, you know, we're at the beginning of a new CBA. How much more is the cap going to go up? There's the current cap recovery in place because of the pandemic. And all of those different variables at work. So I think from that standpoint, it's, you know, as Eric said on Friday, he called it an unusual negotiation because of that. And again, when you hear him describe it the way that he did, which, you know, I don't think he was out of bounds in any way that he described it. But when you're saying it's unusual and you talk about the fact that you're working, quote, at Lamar's pace, and you talk about the fact that you've had, you know, you've estimated to have five or six conversations over the course of the last calendar year. Now, knowing that he's, what, 13 months from being scheduled to hit free agency at this point, although we know it'll never, that would never happen, then the franchise tag would come into play. But it is interesting to try to interpret where they are exactly with it. Is it a case where Lamar is being a little more lax? Or dare I say he's going the Joe Flacco route a little bit and betting on himself, possibly? Or is it a case where the sides have, in very rough numbers, have talked about numbers and they're really far apart? It's difficult to say right now. But I think it is one of those cases where the longer this goes on and the closer you do get to that deadline, and I know you're a big Andrew Brandt fan, and he always talks about deadline spurring action. But the longer that goes on, the more it's going to be asked about and the more it's going to be a potential distraction. Now, again, this isn't a case where he's hitting the market next month. So there isn't a ton of urgency, but there's certainly more urgency than there was a year ago at this time. So, you know, I think it's a mistake for him not to have an agent. I think in most cases, as much as you talk about saving that percentage, I even think back to Richard Sherman a few years back.
Rule number one, Luke, is never represent yourself, right?
Like, they say you have a former client, right? Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's the old, you know, representing yourself in a trial. You have a fool for a client. So I don't, you know, I think that's too strong, because again, it's not as though he can't have individuals advising him, but it is a complicated process when you're talking about negotiations. Eric DaCosta, if Lamar has an agent, or talking about, you know, Ronnie Stanley a couple years ago, or Mark Andrews last year, or go back to Joe Linta with Joe Flacco, you know, you have that buffer where you can flat out say, yeah, we love this guy, but he doesn't do this very well. He doesn't do that very well. We have concerns about this. There's this element that we're considering here. And that agent serves as the buffer there, that the player never has to hear that part of it. Now, the agent...
Well, you'd also like to think that if you're... Even the most sophisticated players, right, that Matt Burke, who went to Harvard, or people that studied, you know, business school, or, you know, Chris Carr's a lawyer now. He popped up on my LinkedIn, or, you know, people that aspire to be lawyers, or Brandon Copeland, who saves his money and is a money man. Like, all of these people would, if they were Lamar, they would say, you need an agent to fight for every $500,000 this or that, or, you know, things that only agents would know how to do, like literally. And the buddy-buddy relationship with DaCosta, it alarmed most of the people in the media, quite frankly. I mean, it was sort of a buzz in the media room afterward about, well, this is awkward. This is weird. Everything about Lamar is sort of awkward and weird and, you know, unorthodox, as my guy Marty Conway would say, right? But in the end, it's just not smart. It's not grown up. It's not professional. It's not there's a reason 99% of the other players use an agent to represent themselves so that they can maximize their value, period. Period.
Yeah,
because there's a sophistication level involved at that point where you're top of class that you, I don't know, you should just be smart enough to know what you don't know. How about that?
Well, and that's where I want to tread lightly, because, I mean, there have been individuals. Richard Sherman is a perfect example. Guy went to Stanford. He's really smart. He represented himself a couple years ago, and the deal was kind of panned as not being very good.
Crypto now. By the way, everything in this city has the word crypto on it. You know, it's insane. Everything, the arena is named. Like, we got guys taking money in Bitcoin and losing their shirt. Literally, you know, one of the guys on the field's doing that, right?
Well, I mean, that's a different kind of argument than what we're talking about right now. I mean, that's talking about currency and getting way above my pay grade.
Well, you think you're smarter than the people who are experts. That's all.
There's plenty to talk about with crypto. We're not going to talk about cryptocurrency, but there are plenty of smart people who believe in crypto. So I think in the case of talking about someone who, yes, has made solid money as a first round pick, but certainly not money that's going to impact his children and his children's children in the way that a high nine figure contract extension would. I do think there's certainly something to be said about, you know, calculated risk or gamble with, when you consider his playing style, when you consider what happened to Dak Prescott, who doesn't have Lamar Jackson's playing style, but got hurt. But you would say, okay, he made out pretty well, and he's going to get another bite at the apple as he's right around, 30 years of age. So, you know, that maybe that's a case for waiting. But I think what's interesting, because, and I mentioned it, and I'm not the first one that's drawn the comparison where people go back to 2012 and Joe Flacco betting on himself. But, you know, the difference here is Joe Flacco hadn't been an NFL MVP. Joe Flacco hadn't been to two Pro Bowls already. Joe Flacco was not one of the faces of the NFL in the way that Lamar Jackson already is. He already has tremendous value. And we can sit here and debate whether he should be the highest paid or the second highest paid or the third highest paid. But, you know, anyone who thinks it's going to be anything less than that stratosphere, I don't think you know what you're talking about.
So, Luke, you sent me out here to be the eyes and ears for Baltimore sports fans. I walked through the convention center for the experience here. I saw more Lamar Jackson jerseys in Los Angeles here than I saw Chargers jerseys. Just seriously, that's a fact.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. I mean, what, Madden, the Madden video game just put out their awards, and he had more yards of any player that people use in the game than anyone in the NFL.
He is
it just shows you how
exciting
popular
player
he is
in the sport, right? That you could say what you want about Mahomes or whatever, right?
Right. So with that, all of that in mind, it is the case of, do you really need to bet on yourself anymore? I mean, I know Eric cited Lamar saying that there's unfinished business, and this is where he needs to understand. And this is where the people in his life need to be telling him. And I don't want to make this sound like Lamar doesn't know what he's talking about here. Lamar's 25 years old. Most 25-year-olds aren't thinking in those long-term kind of concerns, but that's why you need to have people around you that you trust. And look, I'm not saying he should hire the first agent that he's ever encountered or that he will encounter, because there are agents out there that aren't necessarily going to be the best fit for any specific individual player. But I can't fathom that other players in the league that he's befriended, including guys on his own team, wouldn't be able to point him in the right direction. And hey, we'll see. Maybe in 2 months or 6 months or whenever this happens, or next week, who knows? Maybe he will surprise everyone and we'll find out he actually had really good people advising him and how to handle it. And he'll get a deal that will be widely praised. But I'd hate to see him miss out on realizing his full potential. And I've had some people on Twitter saying this, and I get it. Fans are thinking about it from a team perspective, and they'll say, well, he's going to get $23 million this year, which, yes, does give him more security than he earned over his first 4 years, which I think was roughly, $9 million over the first 4 years as the 32nd overall pick. But the reality is, he's entitled to the money that's out there and for him to earn. So it really is a case of wanting him to maximize his value and not put himself in a position where he's missing out. That's going to set up his family for generations, to be wealthy and to be able to do not just things for themselves, but, you know, to do things for other people that I know Lamar has been very charitable and doing things in South Florida and whatnot. So, you know, it's just one of those cases where I personally think it would behoove him, it would serve him very well to have an agent. And, you know, as much as Eric cited unfinished business, what's happening on the field and winning football games is not really the business at the end of the day. Now, that drives the business. The business is making sure you're getting what your value dictates you should get. And that's where I look at this and, you know, again, room for it to be uncomfortable, room for it to be awkward, as you mentioned, but also it's like, hey, this guy's one of the stars of the NFL. He deserves to get paid and he deserves to get every nickel that the Ravens are going to ultimately give him whenever it happens. So, you know, from that standpoint, he wants to make sure he's represented in a way that's going to best serve his interest. On the Ravens side, no, they're not looking to quote screw him, but they probably wouldn't mind doing it a little bit if it means they could save a little bit of cap space, if we're being honest there, and you're using truth serum with the Ravens brain trust. So be interesting to see how it plays out. But, you know, as we're talking about this now, as he's entering year five, I mean, unless we hear something different, you know, it doesn't seem like him hiring an agent is imminent. So we'll see how it plays out. And ultimately, maybe he'll prove everyone wrong in the same way that he's proven people wrong along the way on the field. But it is something that I look at and taken away from that, feeling like, really feel like he should have an agent. But hey, ultimately, that's a decision he and his family are entitled to make.
It's kind of insane because, like, I don't care how much money he makes. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter to me or you. And a matter of fact, if the team screws him, it's more money they can spend on a left tackle.
Sure.
Or, you know, whatever that they're going to need. It really is in the modern era. It's a head scratcher, as a friend of mine would say, a head scratcher. Hey, look, I'm in LA. We're in the convention center here. We're on the floor at Radio Row. Very unlikely. I thought I wasn't coming. It's our 28th Super Bowl here. I want to thank our friends at Wise Markets for not only giving me a cup here that Rob Santoni, I got the cup, dude. Free water because of this cup. I also have a Maryland Lottery mask and cup on here. Our friends at Coons Ford and Leonard Raskin and Raskin Global. I'm wearing my Liberty Pure hat here. We'll be talking all about the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, which will begin at Mama's on the Half Shell on March the 4th to honor my father's birthday's March 5th. So we'll be into all this on our 31st year of doing sports radio here and our 28th Super Bowl from Radio Row. Luke and I are going to continue to talk about Dick Cass and Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh and Mike McDonald and all of the issues. Brian Flores and the league now hiring some African-American coaches here over the weekend. And all the questions that Roger Goodell will be getting here this week. But the Bengals and the Rams are going to play football. I saw Sam Farmer here earlier. I remember seeing him in so many owners' meetings and league events when LA didn't have a team. We'd always be like, one year they're going to have a team. One year it's going to happen. And here we are. The Rams are in over at SoFi Stadium on Sunday. I will be attending the game, so I'm excited about that. And I'll be here all week eating Korean barbecue, probably getting fat on Korean shave ice. I told Amy Trask I'm going to be at Okabing. That's going to be my unsponsored. It's like Fonzie's office at Arnold's. You can just find me in the back of Okabing, probably eating the mango melon shave ice. I am Nestor. We're here in L.A. Luke and I will continue on with guests and many dignitaries as well. And if I wind up meeting Snoop on Tuesday night during the Snoop Wounded Warriors game, it'll be a big week here in L.A. Back for more on Radio Row in L.A., all of it presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play in California.